Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Watcher, it's the Luke and Pete Show. Episode, Luke Miller?
170.
Ah.
Maximum outshot available in darts.
Is that right? What's an outshot?
Well, to finish. You have to finish on a double or the bullseye.
Ah, okay. So yeah. It's not as big as 180. That's
triple 20, triple 20, bull.
Ah, 170. I see.
180 you can get as a score, but you can't finish on 180.
Right.
Darts there, everyone. Mm. Darts there.
They don't seem to have that rule in the Far East, I've noticed, on the game. Is it 301, 201? Because there's different ones in there. 301.
Well, the professionals play 501.
501, yeah. Yeah, we ain't getting there in 12 rounds.
How long have you got? Because I'll tell you what, if you want to do 501, clear the decks.
But you don't have to finish on a double, which has also always annoyed my English friends who get very
mad.
Upset.
But you are also English, so you should find that mad.
I don't find that mad. I don't really understand the old bar games. I don't think they should. I don't think they're important.
What's your favourite bar game?
I think it's darts. I love darts. Yeah, I'm terrible at it, but I love it. But I only like the ones in the machines that you just throw, like like the American ones that are plastic yeah. tipped, and you throw them and it counts it up for you. I can't be arsed with maths. Not when I'm having a drink.
No.
Fuck that.
My dad tells a story. My dad used to be quite a competent darts player for his local pub or whatever. And he tells a story that when he was playing against another pub once, probably back in the 70s, the guy he was playing against got really drunk. And while he was sitting down when my dad was having his turn, he kind of fell asleep and nodded off.
Mm-hmm.
But as he nodded off, his cigarette roll up went so small it like burnt his mouth and started to set his beard on fire.
Oh no.
So he had to slap him in the face to put it out.
Rude awakening.
Yeah. Don't know if it's true. Don't care if it's true. It's a good story. It's one of my dad's staples.
Yeah. My dad used to play for money in pool. He had his own pool.
I thought your dad was a bit like Paul Newman.
He said yes, in that way he is.
And you are the Tom Cruise.
He does have blue eyes.
Yeah.
But not as striking as Paul Newman's beautiful eyes, beautiful peepers. He said that it was kind of hard to, where he used to play and see him, to play for money because you just need to walk around with it. You need a big guy with you because otherwise you'd win the money in the pub and then you go outside and they'd fill you in.
Oh, well, yeah, I can imagine. I was in a rum old pub once in Portsmouth and it was a sailor's pub. And the only reason I was in there is because we were doing, admittedly, in retrospect, an appallingly basic round of pub golf.
Right.
Which we used to do every year when we were kids. And it meant you had to go to a couple of the pub. People who are listening who have been to Portsmouth on the south coast of the UK will know the kind of town it can be.
I was there yesterday.
Were you?
Yeah.
Didn't ring me up again.
You weren't there.
I live in London. So we wouldn't ordinarily go to these pubs. There's a bunch of pubs on the harbour itself. Mm. I don't know what they're like now, but back then they were quite rough. There was the Ship Hansen, one, and there's one called the Victory.
The Victory's nice, doesn't it?
No. No. It might be now, but it wasn't then. And I was playing pool against my friend, and this guy came in, covered in tattoos, drunk, all the rest of it, and was like, pointing at me, you, I'm playing you for a fiver. And I was like, one, I'm like 18, I haven't really got a fiver to spare. Mm. Two, I can't see how I'm going to win here.
Yeah.
I can't see, even if I win the game, you're not going to be happy about giving me a fiver.
Yeah.
And if I had, if I didn't care what people thought of me, I probably would have said, can I just give you a fiver? And we just cut out the middleman. Anyway, we had to play and it was, I think I ended up losing anyway, but it was quite
tense.
Worrying.
Yeah,
it was grim.
Tense. Yeah.
Why do people, you're a bit like this, you're a power drinker, so when you get amongst your ale, you really ought to get intense about it.
Yeah, but I don't start tonguing to anybody else. I fold in on myself like a cheap origami swan.
Like a deck chair.
Like a deck chair. Yeah, I don't want to talk to anyone. Yeah.
No. What no, do you want to do when you're drinking? You want to party, do you?
I want to party, mate. I want everyone to know that Donny can dance. I don't dance anymore. I've not danced for a while, actually. So maybe the dance has left me. You'll never know.
Can't fight the moonlight, mate.
We're off on a little holiday this weekend, aren't we?
It's not a holiday, mate. It's a working weekend.
So yeah, they made that very clear.
Get your head on. Get your head on, pal. Take your laptop, at least.
Can I take my Switch?
So when the guy from the commercial partner sees you at check-in or through security, you can. Oh yeah, got my laptop. Yeah, won't be using that.
Is that a child's laptop from
Fisher Price?
From Fisher Price, it just makes
my laptop.
Farmyard animals.
Press the button. Cow for cats.
Cow. Yeah. There used to be one in Woolworths that used to. I used to entertain myself because there's nothing to do in Woolworths apart from eat steel, pick and mix, or play with the toys. Yeah, I mean you can't even go to Woolworths now. It's
a couple
got
of my mates got lifted for stealing blank tapes from Woolworths.
Oh, there we go.
Terrible crime. I
That's
mean, what is the point
lame,
of that?
Isn't it? Yeah. At least buy something with something on it.
Yeah,
with some resale value, not just bulk items. And they're boxy as well. Very boxy. Steel calendars. You can get them down your trousers.
Yeah.
But there was one that used to press and he used to go, I'm poor Peter.
Really?
He used to press the P. It used to have like a name, like, you know, I'm Bawdy Brian. I'm Bawdy Brian.
Yeah.
C, I'm Cheesy Chris. All the boys. And then when it got to P, it was, I'm poor Peter. So people used to go, I'm poor Peter.
For you?
Me. Yeah.
Did it make you cry?
Knocked them spark out, mate. Now who's the poor one, I said. How was Santorini?
It's still you because your purchases are inadvisable. Santorini was absolutely bloody lovely. It was there for my sister's wedding. She got married in the beautiful town of Imravigli. It was fantastic. Wife and I went up to Oia, which is the thing you will probably, if you're imagining Santorini now listening to this, you'll imagine the beautiful whitewashed buildings and the blue domes and on the cliff face and on the rocks. That's Oia, which is the town very far north of the island. Mm. We went to that. It was great. I had a lovely time actually. My whole family were there because it was a wedding, so it was quite nice. It's the first time I've been on holiday with my family since 1996 or 7.
Oh, that's nice. Same here, to be honest. Been a long time since
your parents don't like travelling, do they?
No, they certainly do not. Did your good lady enjoy the volcano action?
Oh yes, we collected some sand. We collect sand from wherever we go. So we collect. It was quite funny actually because we went to a lot of the sand there on the beaches of Santorini are black sand because it's a volcanic island. But there's a beach called the Red Beach for obvious reasons. The sand is red. There's a kind of weird rock formation there where the rocks
strawberries.
Are red. Yeah, I don't really know. I'll try
strawberries.
My wife did explain it to me because she's got a background in geological education.
Could it be iron? Iron's quite red, isn't it?
This is the kind of questions I was asking. Yeah. I didn't understand her explanation, but what she did say is brilliant because she knows what she's talking
just
about.
Just eat your ice
stuff.
Cream.
Yeah, yeah. You've got it all down here again. We were walking this cliff, this sort of what you'd call, I suppose, a beachside path over rocks to get to it.
Right.
And we got there and there's a load of the usual kind of American and Chinese tourists, mostly sort of younger girls, sunbathing. Mm. And the first thing Mimi said when we got to the beach was, looking up at the cliffs, we're going, yeah, this is really unsafe. Get the sand, we're going. Because the geological sort of formation of the cliffs is very unstable.
Right.
And she was pointing out to me, look there, look there, look there. That's all rock falls.
Mm.
Right, let's go.
Yeah.
And later on that night, I was looking online, and it said that the tourist board and stuff have advised you to not go there
because you're going
to
get a rock on your noggin.
Well, it's just you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, the rocks could fall at any point.
Mm.
So we got the sand from there, the Red Beach, and it's beautiful sand. But we could no hang around. But there was people sunbathing all over the whole thing, and the hotels apparently there have issued out warnings saying, please don't go there.
Mm.
We know we can't stop you going there, but don't go there.
I mean, people should be able to be stopped because, you know, otherwise...
Oi, like back in the good old days, no health and safety.
We should put up nets or something, I don't know. Yeah, it's things like that, I sort of go, oh, that's interesting that like you just... That's the thing that always worries me about doing anything a bit risky, like getting in some sea. I'll just be pulled out by like a riptide. And like, oh God, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen. I read about, because obviously we're going to a villa for a football ramble project. And I wanted to get a jet ski. I'm doing the universal signal for jet ski and also motorbike, depending on whether on sand or sea.
Or potentially giving two dolphins men, a handjob at the same time.
and more on them later on, if we get to it. And there's a lot of people that get electrocuted. Are you quite finished?
Sorry, I was just presenting someone the show as a dolphin.
Okay.
Carry on. A lot of people get electrocuted by jet skis.
Struck by lightning. in if there's a sudden lightning storm,
yeah,
and you're out in the sea in your jet ski.
Yeah, what could be better in a lightning storm than being surrounded and covered in salt water and being the tallest point under the storm?
In a little, with very, I don't think jet skis have any protection.
No. And, have you done jet skiing?
Yeah, I really like it. I really want to do it more.
Do you enjoy the power?
Well, I think anybody who doesn't drive...
Do you start to feel blood in it?
Yeah. Anyone who doesn't drive, going over like, you know, 5-10 miles an hour, you're like, this is the fastest I'm ever going to go.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Great.
So it's a real thrill for me.
So what you're saying, when we go to Menorca, you want to go jet skiing?
No, I can't because it's going to be fucking raining, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I remember someone shared the weather app recently and said, absolute stitch up. Saturday and
it's
Sunday.
It's literally the days that we're there, pissing it down. Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, we're there to work. So,
we're there to work, so it doesn't matter. I'll have my laptop. Surprise, laptop.
I'll have my laptop as well.
What's that? And Peter's just doing some work. Poor Peter. Poor Peter.
But
Chris.
What have you been doing since I've been away? Have you been up to much?
I enjoyed
the ramble, by the way.
I had a busy couple of weeks. As I said, went to the Isle of Wight to film something for the Isle of Wight Festival coverage we're doing on the radio.
Get your pre-reqs in.
No, just working, I suppose. Not really done much. Went to Cardiff. You were there for that.
Yeah, I was here then. Yeah.
I had quite a quiet weekend. You've not been away for long, so yeah, not much really.
A couple of nights before my sister's wedding, they had, which I thought was a really good idea, they had this kind of evening where everyone who didn't know each other could all sort of get together and have a few drinks, and they decided to do karaoke. And it was obviously funny, and there was a guy there who I won't name who was really, really drunk, and at one point he pointed over to me, was like, ramble, he's not one of my brother-in-law's mates,
yeah,
ramble, here's one for you, ramble. Just literally called me ramble, and did World in Motion.
Oh.
So drunk he could barely enunciate any of the words. And afterwards he was like, what do you think of that? That's for you, that was.
Did you give it a beat and then go, you're going to be a star, kid?
Yeah, I said, I'll make you a star. Meet me out back. And I did a rendition. My sister stitched me up because it was as soon as I walked in, I hadn't eaten, a sip of beer.
Right.
And the guy comes over, as soon as my sister saw me walk in, the guy comes over, the host of the karaoke, and says... And next up on the karaoke, it's Betsy, my niece, and Uncle Lukey.
Yeah.
She knows I can't go back on that because it's with Bets.
No, exactly.
Betsy stood there with the mic and the handle ready.
Please tell me it was something erotic.
Just can't wait to be king. The Lion King.
Yeah. Okay, right, okay.
That's great fun.
Could have been worse.
Absolute stitch up, though. Absolute stitch up.
It could have been Nelly and the woman out of Destiny's Child, Kelly Rowland.
Who sends a text message with an Excel spreadsheet in the video. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
People haven't seen that. What year is that, Pete? 2002?
Well, I mean, it was brought up about 2 years ago, and then it found more life this year as well, which is weird.
In the music video for Nelly and Kelly, Nelly, I love you. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I can't remember what it's called now. What's it called?
Don't mind. I love you. My boo.
No matter what I do. Mm. That one. In the video, she's upset with Nelly because he's left her. Stood her up or whatever, so she wants to send him a text message, but it's back in the day, the very finest sweet spot when smartphones have come out, but they're still kind of Palm Pilot type vibes.
Yeah, it's like it was one of those Nokia numbers that were like kind of landscape format flip phone.
Yes,
but it was like they're so exotic that you sort of think, who buys these?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever saw
I'll tell you who does. Kelly Rowland.
It was like a sidekick.
And she sends him a text message in quotes, but she does it using Microsoft Excel. Mm. And it's great because at that moment in time, the director of the video is like, no one's going to know.
Yeah.
As long as it's got text, don't care.
Maybe she was copying it into, just as she could order her thoughts a little bit, she wrote it in the Excel spreadsheet.
Control C, Control V.
Just copy and paste it into the messaging app.
I'll put it in this cell to spell check it. And but anyway, yeah, whatever. It was fine. I had a great time. Karaoke was fun. Someone did World in Motion. I did Lion King. What more do you want?
Lovely old job.
Pete, should we... I want to talk to you quickly before we go to emails.
Yes.
About this news story I read.
Okay.
What do you think about this? I've got a feeling, and I'm sometimes wrong on this, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. I think you might have a strong opinion on this.
Right.
I'm going to read the first line of the news story.
Okay.
Primary school pupils who thought they were due to sit an exam turned over their papers to discover they would be going on a surprise theme park trip to Chessington World of Adventures.
Enjoyable.
The exam paper said they had been tricked into thinking they had a science test, but would actually be spending the day on a roller coaster. Not down a roll on the roller coaster. Look, one.
Everyone on one big roller coaster.
What do you think about that?
I think it's good, but also I'd be annoyed if I'd studied for the test. Like the SWATs in the class.
I was thinking that.
And to be honest, the parents probably would have been as well, because A, they have to fork up for a trip to fucking Chessington World Adventures, and also, you know, the bubble works and all that business, and the kid doesn't learn any science.
So I liked the idea of it. I thought it was a nice story. The kids are only year six. They're about 10 or 11. Mm. But until I saw how self-aggrandizing the teacher who did this
right.
was, because he actually took the time to put an exam question in quotes on the paper that they had to read. Mm. And it said, please read the whole question.
Right.
Chichester class year six children are going on a trip to Chessington World of Adventures today and have been tricked by Mr. Bacon into thinking they actually have a science test. Tick one, is he A, the best teacher ever, or B, the best teacher ever?
Okay. I mean, is this a peer-reviewed question? Is this
it's the
like...
it's the need for approval I can't stand. And well, I know that's rich coming from two guys who do a podcast, but you understand what I mean. From it's not enough for the teacher just to let him do it. He has to big himself up.
He's got more listeners than us. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily have gone down that route. I would have at least put a question. But read the whole of the question. I'd put like the science bit at the start. And then sort of at the end go, P.S. you are going to Chessington World Adventures. Thank you, Mr. Baker, whatever his fucking name is.
Mr. Donaldson, in your case.
Mr. Donaldson.
Do you know what I'd have done? I'd have got on some of those old school desks with the thing flips open and you put your books inside it. Yeah. They still have those? Probably not.
No.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
And I'd say like, okay, your test is in the desk. Mm. Open it up. And when they open it up, I would have left a dog turd in there with the ticket on a little flag on a toothpick stuck in the dog turd.
I would have put the tickets in everyone's desk, apart from one child whose severed head of their mother would be in there.
Yeah, what with the ticket stuff in the mouth? Unlucky. Like it was some kind of like a Juarez kind of like unlucky. Cartel, Mexican drug cartel.
Unlucky,
kind of,
mate.
Yeah. Possibly a bit specialist, that. Mm. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we will deal with all your bloody emails.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, get in the sea, walrus.
But they can sense the others down below. As they get hungry, they need to return to the sea.
A walrus slash Julian Assange there.
Julian Assange down, in his most stunning and engaging role as a walrus David Attenborough, or as Pete calls him, the Whispery Man's Netflix documentary about just the plastic bags and all that.
If I'm with no one else and I'm I say I'm on the radio or something and I have to remember David Attenborough's name, I will easily be able to remember his name. But when I'm with someone, I use them as a crutch. And so I did it earlier on while you were interviewing somebody for a Ramble Meets, and I went, who's that woman who's in Die Hard 2? Which is, of course, was it Patsy Palmer? Yeah, wasn't Patsy Palmer, was
but
it?
This is the thing, and I've got well used to reading the rooms with you.
Yeah.
Reading the runes. I don't ever really question it because it just takes you down a road that you don't need to go down. But the person you were describing to me, I know was Patsy Palmer, but right. The way you described it was with some information that wasn't correct. And it's very hard to explain to people who don't know you who are listening to this, but I do get what you mean, hence me being able to guess Patsy Palmer.
Yes.
But she was not in Die Hard, to my knowledge.
And also, it's not even Die Hard. It's a completely different situation. What was the famous Mel Gibson, Lethal Weapon? She was in Lethal Weapon 2. And the woman who was in Lethal Weapon 2 was also in, let's have a look.
Patsy Palmer wasn't in Lethal Weapon.
No, I know, it wasn't even Patsy Palmer, that's the
point. Oh, okay, right.
It was Patsy Kensit.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Who I think ended up in EastEnders?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I was just making the point that she would come out of the Bower Building in Golden Square to be met by a host of autograph hunters. And instead of just getting their autograph, some of them would come up with like quite erotic pictures with her in like lingerie and basques when she was like 19 and modelling. And she's like, I'm not fucking signing those.
Yeah, right.
With good grace and decorum, but still.
I think there's a mind maze needed whenever I have a conversation with you. And that's kind of the structure of what this show is.
Look, we've had Mencarta and now it's mind maze. Is it mind maze? It was like a little game in Carta that would draw upon the entries in Encarta, and it would give you a little kind of like a little.
What was that, like an Easter egg feature?
It wasn't even an Easter egg. It was just like, do you want to go into Encarta? Do you want to go to the, do you want to look at the entries in order, or would you like to play Mind Maze? I think it was called Mind Maze, and it was just like a little kind of trivia quiz.
The best thing ever about Encarta was it had videos on it, and that was like so mind blowing back then. I remember the entry for basketball and the entry for David Bowie, I think.
David Bowie had a version of the song Fame, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, possibly right.
Because I copied it, I think I spoke about it on the show about 3 years ago. I copied and pasted a picture of David Bowie like loads and loads of times on a Word document when I was supposed to be doing some IT spreadsheet work, possibly Access database work. And the teacher came over and went, what the bloody hell is that, Peter? And I went, it's David Bowie. And she said, get out.
Yeah.
I was right.
She was more of an
Elton John question. She asked the question. I answered.
Have you seen the Elton John movie, by the way?
I've not, no. I've heard, like, different things. If you can't get that right, if you can't get an Elton John biopic right,
who
you've
plays
got no
him?
Business.
Taron Egerton,
Taron Egerton.
What else has he been in?
I don't know.
Well,
I thought he might
that.
Be spied.
Like, you're the last person I should be
asking.
He's
in Lethal Weapon 2.
Taron Egerton is in...
He's just all these young actors that I just can't tell the difference.
Oh, he's in Kingsman, isn't he?
Oh, that's right, yes. Yeah, that's Spider-Man, right. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's new Spider-Man, isn't he?
Emails, Pete.
Emails.
Apparently, he's also going to be in a new remake of The Dark Crystal. Interesting. Emails, what about this one from David? Hello at lukeandpeacher.com. You guys have stepped up, actually. We were running a bit low, and now we're absolutely inundated.
Huge.
I mean, I got back from a week away, and there was 4 pages of emails unread. So thank you for that. We will get to all of them. We read every single one of them. If we don't make the show, it's possibly one of two reasons. One is it's just simply not good enough, or two, probably a bit long, and Pete couldn't be asked. David has emailed in saying, hello to Luke and the Pete. I thought I would continue the odd phobia trope from recent episodes and let you know about mine. So we talked about phobias, didn't we? What were the examples of some of the weird phobias? Stickers?
Stickers. That was a particularly bad one. The number 13, I think.
That wasn't one.
It was, well, that wasn't one. Maybe I just learned. I can't really think. Eggs? I don't know.
Sorry. Say anything, can you?
Just eggs.
And there was definitely more about stickers. Anyway, David says, I have no idea how it started, but for as long as I can remember, I have had a phobia about buttons on clothes.
Right. Okay.
It's dependent on size and material of the button, but they make me feel nauseous when I can see them. I can deal with buttons on shirts due to their size and ones made of metal. Pearly kings and queens would be my worst nightmare. I thought I'd be the only person to suffer from this affliction, but the husband of my wife's best friend has a button phobia too. Needless to say, we have never brought it up in conversation because we are men. Well, you should talk about problems. That's what men are terrible at. Mm. And there's no judgment here, Pete, important to say. Have you ever come across that phobia before?
No, but it would remind me of tryptophobia, you know, the fear of irregular halls or shapes.
That's quite a common one, isn't it? And you can, I can kind of see that one. Get that's a bit creepy.
Like anything seed poddy where you think something's going to come out is actually quite disgusting. But,
and that's probably quite an evolutionary reason for that, right? A dangerous evolutionary reason.
Yeah, it probably means that you've got some kind of animal burrowing into your body and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Have Noah Harari would talk about that in his Sapiens book, I expect.
Say again.
You've read the book Sapiens?
I've half read it.
It's brilliant. And the second one's not as good, but the Sapiens is brilliant. And
Sapiens 2?
It's called Homo Deus, the second one, I think. I think it's the second one. Anyway, he would kind of talk about that. One of the things I found really interesting about Sapiens was he says that one of the biggest advantages and reasons for the successful nature of human beings is their ability to believe in myths.
Right.
To believe in things that don't actually exist. So it can be anything from like a company. Because what is a company, right? A company is basically like the people made up of it and the brand, but it doesn't actually exist, right? And it's the same with storytelling, ensuring people's safety by telling metaphorical stories about danger, all that kind of stuff.
God.
You're opening a can of God there.
Can of whoop-ass on myself.
But yeah, that's exactly the same kind of principle, yeah. So anyway, yeah, buttons.
Because dogs never just sort of stop and go, oh, shit, I forgot about dragons.
Dolphins can. Dolphins can understand the concept of the hand shandy monster. We're coming on. Give you a lovely little treat.
You were away when old Game of Thrones finished, didn't you?
I've watched
it. Did you manage to grab a hold of it?
I watched it on Tuesday night.
Reactions, quick one, in a sentence.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo what I said before, with nothing. There'll be no spoilers. Don't worry. I understand that the popularity of the show means that it's impossible to keep everyone happy, and the loudest voices are going to be the most sort of
retweeted
opposition kind of noises and and the complaints, I suppose. But I personally, if I'm being totally honest, I kind of enjoyed the ending. I thought it was okay. I thought you're never going to please everyone. You're not going to tie off every loose end. I do think in retrospect, and I will rewatch it, but I do think in retrospect, the final season looked a bit unnecessarily rushed. I don't know why it had to be 6 episodes when all the others were 12. Perhaps there's a scheduling thing that I'm not aware of there, or a shooting schedule that I wasn't aware of. But ultimately, I kind of enjoyed it. I'm not, and this is going to sound hugely self-aggrandizing, Pete, but this is a safe space, so I'll say it to you, and the listeners can judge me accordingly. And I'm not in any way comparing what we do to that kind of big budget thing. I'm genuinely and sincerely not doing that. But when you get an idea of how the sausage is made in a creative endeavor, whatever the creative endeavor, I've found it kind of makes, and you probably disagree, you probably think it goes the other way, but for me, I find that it makes me more accepting and tolerant of what people are trying to do, if you know what I mean. Because we it's not a proper job, but we do a lot of fucking stuff. We work pretty hard to make stuff happen, and sometimes people aren't very happy with it, and sometimes people kick off. And having experienced that in a very, very infinitesimally small kind of way, it makes me more likely to be forgiving, and certainly when I was a younger man. Does that make sense?
With the Great Wall sized caveat that certainly nothing we've ever approached doing is anything like...
No, but it doesn't mean we don't work hard at it. No,
but I think I think I am more aware of how fucking ungrateful people are.
Yeah, exactly. That's a better way of saying
but
it.
But only because I have grown up playing video games. Now, video games are a wholly unethical piece of media to endure and enjoy. Film doesn't experience crunch necessarily to that degree anyway. Yeah. TV shows don't experience that.
Explain to me what you mean by crunch.
So I'll come to that. Sport doesn't experience it either. When it comes to the last month or 2 months or sometimes quarter of a year, half a year of a video game getting released, overtime is accepted as a thing that has to be done. You have to work 7 days a week, 6 days a week. You have to work 12-hour shifts to get video games released on time because shareholders demand that a video game doesn't slip from its original release date. It frequently does shift because it's just bad management that they've said that it'll come out at some time when they just don't have the time for it. And it's accepted as an industry that people have to just not see their parents, their families, their loved ones for 6 months while this thing gets shipped. And it's a disgrace.
Yeah.
And so when you see people children, mainly just lads in their mum's basement, complaining that this is not my Daenerys, and this is not my Game of Thrones, and this is not my this, and this is not my that.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that is something that we do. I do think we have an insight into that, because, again, I'm hugely grateful to anyone who listens to any of our stuff or partakes of anything we do. And it's been hard fought over the years, but the situation, it's like Humphrey Bogart stuff. I think I said it to you before. The only thing you owe the public is a good performance, right? So you do your best. You don't have anything beyond that. Mm. I owe you a fucking damn thing. Mm. I'll give you the best I can give you. And if you don't like it, I'm cool with that, right? And if every single human being on the planet doesn't like it, then I've got no career in this, and I have to go and find something else to do. And that's the tacit agreement, and I get that. But the very idea that you could please, is something you alluded to there, you could please every individual fan of that show in a universal way. People need to take a step back and realise that actually, world doesn't revolve around you. So you might find things you do like, you might find things you don't like. That's life.
But the annoying thing is, like, you see trailers for, say, Mass Effect, the last Mass Effect, or the second last Mass Effect, had an ending that upset quite a lot of people. The internet, the gamers en masse complained. They changed the ending.
Yeah,
the game
bullshit.
Got released.
That's
it bullshit. Got repatched, and the game changed. The Sonic the Hedgehog character.
Oh, I saw
the trailer. He looks a bit weird.
The
He's got a weird human mouth.
Yeah.
His eyes aren't the same as the cartoon or the original video game. And the director has basically said, we'll go back and change that. Has the release date changed? No. So which means that everybody who works in the visual effects department, which is the whole thing, I guess, has had to go back and change the look of this animal, of this cartoon animal, so that it's more palatable to some absolute neckbeards on the internet. so it's shit like that upsets me, because, you know, they're not going home for the weekend because some idiot on the internet goes, I don't like his eyes or his mouth. It's a fucking hedgehog, mate. It's a bright blue hedgehog. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it looks shit apart from that.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Yeah, it takes quite the leap of faith for you to buy into this anyway.
This is a bad bright blue hedgehog that can run fast.
The only thing I would add to that is just this idea, which I disagree with, that this is a new thing, because it's not a new thing. And the reason I know it's not a new thing is because I can remember when The Sopranos finished and people lost their shit about that. And if you watch it back now, it's kind of the best ending you could have really got. There's no real other way you can imagine it to end.
Mm.
And so, with retrospect, I think people will be a bit more balanced and understand that really, whichever way you slice it, I know you're going down the game at the video game kind of route, but on the original question you asked.
My favourite TV show was Mad Men, and I think that was, they had to end somehow, and it wasn't ended in an amazing way, but then what do you want?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
It's got to end.
Don't let it detract from the fact that Game of Thrones was an absolutely phenomenal TV event, probably of the like we've never seen before. And no, it wasn't perfect, because nothing is fucking perfect, and that's just life.
Yeah.
So manage your expectations accordingly. It's not cost you anything beyond a subscription to a TV show to watch it, really. I mean, you've only, what is it, a few quid a month? I know that's money to people that maybe some people can't afford, but I don't think they're not keeping up their end of the bargain because you didn't personally like it. Anyway, do an email, because we're supposed to do emails. We're almost out of time.
Well, Kieran pointed out that Free Solo, which you've spoken about quite eloquently, is on the telly on Channel 4 tonight. So if you fancy a bit of that here in the UK, it's on Channel 4 tonight from, I think, 9 o'clock.
If you've got plans, DVR it.
DVR it, mate.
Yeah.
They might not have a DVR, presumptuous much.
And if you get this late, go on to Channel 4 plus one.
Nick. Hello, Nick. Great, I love this. Whilst listening to your exploits in episode 157 with Fake Poo, I was motivated enough to tell you the story about what happened to my dear mother recently. I live overseas with my family, one wife, two kids, two dogs. For a couple of months every year, my mother comes to stay with us. This is not problematic as it might seem. We got enough room. My children enjoy having their grandma around. The children also like to play the odd practical joke on her. She's they're 10 and 12. And after having recently discovered fake dog poo, a beautiful part of any child's life,
yeah,
I think it's fair to say.
A great moment.
This looks so much like poo. How is this allowed?
Yeah,
glorious artifact.
I'm disgusted by this.
They set about a harmless little prank. Knowing my mum is always the last to bed, they left the fake poo near the top of the stairs. No, this isn't a sick joke where she falls backwards and breaks her neck, like she had a casualty. With the expectations that their grandma would see the plastic poo and proceed to get the stuff ready to clean it up, or to discover once she had the disinfectant paper towel, brush, dustbin and bag in position, she would notice it was fake. The joke went exactly to plan. Upon climbing the stairs, my mum saw the fake poo, went back downstairs, collected the necessary items, only then to discover it was actually a plastic poo. Perfect, but what happened next is hilarious, although you can be the judge of that. The following day, the children are walking fresh from the jubilation of discovering the joke worked as planned. They left for school in such a hurry, they forgot to ensure that our dogs were locked outside the house, as was the norm. Whilst my mum dozed in her room, one of the dogs, probably excited to be left inside the house, had a little accident and relieved himself of last night's meal via the normal procedure.
I don't think that was an accident.
Oh yeah, you like poo, do you?
Yeah.
Is the original and best. My mum got up around 9 a.m. and headed downstairs for her usual cup of tea. Approaching the stairs, she spotted the pile of poo.
Ah, oh, God.
She believed that her cheeky grandchildren were playing another fake poo trick and not bothering to get the cleaning stuff. She simply bent down to pick up the poo with her hands, only to discover far too late that this was no joke. Fantastic.
Probably put it in her pocket.
This story had us all gagging and laughing at the same time.
Yeah.
Why my mum told us what actually happened. This is the Sistine Chapel of fake poo pranks. I'm sorry to your children.
Because the world needs to align.
Your children, 10 and 12, they're not going to get a better shot at that. Mm. That has gone so well. They'll be thinking about this when they're about 40. They're going, that's the best thing I've ever done. And I know, Nick, you have aspirations for your children that'll far outweigh whatever you've achieved. But they will never get as good as that. They will never. It's all downhill for them. I'm so sorry, Nick.
Yeah, it could be when a biopic of this particular event could start when the plastic poo is laid there, and some narrator just says, "You have no idea the wheels you've put in motion."
No, it would be at the factory.
Yeah,
it would be at the factory poo where they're just splurging out some old some old plastic and then spray painting it.
One fake poo to rule them all, and in the darkness bind them. Brilliant.
And then dragon came and then burned it to crisp.
Yeah, and then on that pooey bombshell, to use Mr. Alan Partridge's line, we should get out of here, Pete.
Let's get out of here.
Hello at lukeandpeacher.com to get in touch. We'll look forward to speaking to you on Monday. Have a lovely weekend. Weather's getting warmer. Everything's right with the world. Have a great weekend and we'll see you on Monday.
Please put a penny in the old man's hat.
Or a fake poo.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.